And so shall it be, because in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Good morning, church. I checked the time to see whether I'd fallen for what Ugo did, but it's still morning, 2 minutes before the afternoon, or 4 minutes. How's everybody? How's the week been? It's, I think, 37 days to the end of 2018. Can you believe that? And God's been wonderful. I remember when it was day one of 2018, but God has been with us, God has seen us, and by his grace we're still standing. Glory be to his name. So we've had lots of words that have been coming to us, and when God is sending his word over and over on different things, it's because he loves us. It's because there's a place that he wants us to get to. And last weekend, I thank God for the Excellence Conference. There were so many things that came to us, right? And the Pastor Badger kept on saying, write it down, a piece of paper, never forget. To remember he said that over and over. Who wrote anything down? Who has gone back to their notes? So the piece of paper doesn't forget, but we have to go back to those notes. Those messages are recorded. There's no way any one of us could have listened to those messages once and have taken it all in, never forget, and we're going to run with it. So we need to go back. We need to go back. Today, in Sunday school, we're talking about meditation. We need to go and think about it, reread it, and run with it. So I'm encouraging you. It's on the podcast. It's on the website. It's in your notes. If you took notes, please go back and study. Today, by God's grace, we're going to be looking briefly at stretch, the word stretch, you know, stretch. So say to your neighbor, stretch. Or say, do you know what stretching is? Say it like, you know, you're really saying stretch. Say, neighbor, stretch. Say it again. Say it like you really want them to stretch. Neighbor, stretch. Okay, so stretch. What does it mean to stretch? There are different definitions, but this one I like. Stretch says to cause someone to make maximum use of their talents and abilities, maximum use. That's why you might say, oh, it's too easy, it doesn't stretch me. But if I'm using maximum use of my abilities and my talents, it's gonna stretch me, it's gonna be painful, it's gonna take some effort. And stretching talks about maximizing your potential. The word maximize means to make the best use of. If you're going to fulfill God's purpose for your life, you can't do it in a lazy state. You're going to have to maximize your potential. You're going to have to stretch. You're going to have to use everything that he's deposited within you. You're going to have to stir up those gifts. You're going to have to be ready to come out of your comfort zone. So today, say to your neighbor again, stretch. Say it like you really want them to fulfill God's purpose for their life. Say stretch. Okay. So stretch. What are the factors that can initiate a person to stretch? There are many factors, but I've kind of grouped them into two. External factors and internal factors. Let's look at external first of all. And the analogy that I'm going to use is the bird, okay? So if you look at a bird, they tell us that mother birds, when they have their eggs, what they do is they take some of their feathers, they take all sorts of things, they make the nest, but they make that nest very cozy. So they actually pull out some of their feathers to pad the net so that the net is nice and soft and just beautiful. And the eggs are there. They lay on the eggs, and the egg hatches one day, and it becomes little birds, baby birds. And those baby birds are comfortable because mommy bird has made that nest beautiful. And the baby bird, all it has to do is just sit there, sleep, wake up, make some sounds, and mommy bird goes and finds food for it. And you know what happens? Baby bird is so comfortable, all it has to do is just open its beak, and the mommy bird comes and drops the food in its mouth. It doesn't even have to stress, you know? And the baby bird is just having fun. You know, this is just the comfortable life. And for a lot of us, if we check our prayers, that's what we're praying for. We're saying, God, just sort me out. At work, sort me out. Everywhere, let me just be comfortable, comfortable, comfortable. But the mommy bird is looking at this baby bird. It's growing. It's having fun. But the mommy bird knows that this baby bird, if we carry on like this, it's not going to fulfill its potential. This baby bird has the potential to fly. This baby bird has the potential to go across territories. This baby bird has within it the capacity to provide food for others. But if I just keep on feeding it, what's going to happen? Is it going to fulfill its potential? No. So baby bird, left to baby bird, it's not going to leave that cozy place. It's just going to be like, ah, food time. So what the mother bird does is that when he brings food to the baby bird, instead of coming close and dropping it straight into the baby bird's mouth, it starts to move back a bit. So what does that mean? The baby bird has to follow if it wants that food. And it's following, and bit by bit, the mommy bird is making it come out of its comfort zone, out of its comfort zone. And one day, oops, what happens? It falls out of the nest. But it's in coming out of its comfort zone and falling out of the nest. I can imagine that the first time it happens, the panic that will come upon that baby bird. What's happening? God, the enemy is attacking me, you know? But no, it's not the enemy. It's the mommy bird that's trying to push you into purpose. And so the baby bird falls. And the first time, it might just go and have a not so great crash and be thinking, but why would my mom do that? But then after a while, do you know what? It starts to flap its wings. And every time it falls, it flaps its wings. And one day, something incredible happens. I can do what my mom can do. I can fly. But that baby bird, without that external factor of the mom doing that to it, it would never leave its comfort zone. And many of us are like that. Without God shaking our comfort zone, we're just comfortable to stay there. The eagle takes it to another level, the mother eagle. Apparently, the mother eagle, if as it's feeding, you're coming, but somehow you still remain in your comfort zone. The mother eagle, all it does is that it takes its talons and it starts to scatter the nest. So all the things that were making that nest soft and comfortable, it starts to scatter them so that what you now start to feel are the twigs and the pains and the... So by force, it's like you have to leave this comfort zone. I pray for somebody who's refusing to leave their comfort zone that God would shake your nest in Jesus' name. Say it like you mean it. God would shake your nest in Jesus' name. Because the eagle can do incredible things. What God has placed inside you and I, if we would only stretch. So that's external factors. Some people, there are two sets of thoughts about this. But there's another school of thought that says, even when it shakes that nest, if the bird still refused to come, some say it's not true, some say it's true. But the guys that say it's true, they say it comes to the point where the mother bird pushes the baby out. Get out. You know, it actually pushes it out. It's time to come out. But why? Is it because the mother bird hates the child? No. It's trying to get that bird to fulfill its potential. Be an eagle. Be all that God has called you to be. So external factors. And sometimes when these external factors are happening, unfortunately, we then focus all our efforts in binding and casting and loosening. It's not going to change. It's because God loves you. Until you come out of that comfort zone, all those things will still continue being crazy. I remember very early on in my career, I had a job that I was just comfortable in. And there were signs that it was time to stretch. But I just couldn't be bothered. I was just comfortable where I was. And then you know what happened in this workplace? Suddenly they started having all sorts of issues. Suddenly they were going to have redundancies en masse. And it's like, why? You know? But then that was when I started to look for another role. And you know this new role that I got, when I look back now at my career, it was critical in my career path. It was critical in where God has taken me to in my career. So for some people, in whatever area that you need a shaking, I pray that God would push you out of your comfort zone in Jesus' name. It could also be internal factors. So, and there's so many internal factors, and for different people, it might be different things. It might be a desire, it might be a knowing, it might be boredom, it might be a nudge from the Holy Spirit that that you've stayed at this mountain for too long. It's time to stretch. It might be a glimpse of or a picture of more. A vision that, you know what, there's more. I need to stretch. Or it could be like we have this morning, a message from God saying, it's time for you to stretch. I pray that for every single one of us, that in those areas, and it might be different for different people, but in those areas that we need to stretch, that the Holy Spirit would speak to us in Jesus' name. So Isaiah 54, we looked at the entire chapter, Isaiah 54, and we read the entire chapter, not because we're going to use the entire chapter in the message. We're only using 2 out of the 17 verses. But we read the entire chapter because that chapter is loaded with promises. And I hope that as it was being read, we were keen in to those promises. Promises for our children, promises for ourselves. So if you didn't key in when it was read, I encourage you, at the end of the service, when you get home, read Isaiah 54 and pray with that chapter. And that chapter will become a reality in your life in Jesus' name. So we're looking at two verses, Isaiah 54. We're going to look at verses 2 and 3. If I could have it in the NIV, please. Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3. And we're going to read verse 2 together in the NIV. Okay, are we ready? So it says, enlarge the place. I think we'll do that again. Guys, stretch. Okay, here we go. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. So it says enlarge. It takes a doing, but it says enlarge. It says stretch. Don't hold back. Stretch. As in really stretch. It says lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. To fulfill God's purpose for your life, you have to stretch. You have to stretch. I pray that somebody would stretch in Jesus' name. Proverbs 1:32. Now this, we're looking at being in your comfortable zone, being in that place of complacency. Proverbs 1:32 says, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. The KJV version says, the prosperity of fools will destroy them. They're comfortable, they're complacent, they're feeling very prosperous, don't want to leave that place, but it brings destruction. I pray that that will not be any of our portions in Jesus' name. So yes, last Sunday, we looked at the power of a decision. And honestly, if you're going to stretch, it starts with a decision. No matter, do you know the mother bird can be doing everything and everything, I can refuse to stretch. Even if the mother bird pushes the bird out, the bird can decide to just fall to the ground, boom, and not try and flap. So if you're going to stretch, it starts with a decision. There's power in decision. In Daniel, we see in Daniel 1:8 that Daniel proposed in his heart. And because he made a decision in his heart, it led to certain actions. So I encourage you that make that decision, that in the areas that the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that in the areas that you can see that you've become complacent, that starting from today, by God's grace, you're going to do what? Maybe we should start with, when I'm in church, I'm going to engage and stretch. Can we try that again? We're going to do what?
Stretch.
Amen. Okay. There's something very powerful about what we say, you know. You know that when a word is being said, or when a message is being said, or when a Bible scripture is being read, and you respond, you say amen, you engage with it, there's power in what you say, life and death. But if we sit there and we refuse to engage, God forbid that God would be saying, this is life for us, and we just don't connect with it. So every time God's word is coming, be on alert. There's power to do something, and make sure you key in with it in Jesus' name. So as Christians, I think the number one area where we all need to look at when it comes to stretching is in the area of intimacy with God. And we talked about it at length in Bible study on Wednesday. Intimacy with God, my relationship with God. Again, I know we say this all the time, but I want to encourage people. Come for midweek services. It's a time of stretching. Is it convenient? No. At Vigil, we had Vigil on Friday. Very few of us were there in the Leicestershire Vigil. Would it have been more comfortable for me to be in my bed with my heater on? Absolutely. But if I'm going to fulfill potential, if I'm going to be everything that God wants me to be, I have to stretch. And stretch talks about pain. It talks about sacrifice. So I encourage you, is it the most convenient thing in the world to come in the cold, maybe with the children on a Wednesday night? No. But what are we going to do, people? What are we going to do? We're going to... Am I going to see you all on Wednesday then? Stretch. Let these things that we say, let them not just be words. Otherwise, what's the point? God will help us in Jesus' name. At the beginning of November, we had a very challenging Bible study. And that day, I was challenged personally. And I felt sad that so many people were not there. Because I felt that it was a Bible study that could help us so much. And it was on... It was on spiritual disciplines. Discipline is not fun. It's not fun and games. But if we're going to stretch, if we're going to get truly intimate with God, we have to engage with spiritual disciplines. What are the areas of spiritual disciplines? We looked at meditation this morning in Sunday school. I need to focus my mind on God. I need to focus my mind on the things of God, on the word of God, and be intentional about it. It might be a verse that the Holy Spirit lays in my heart, and I engage with that verse all month, and that verse is on my mind, and I'm praying it, and I'm thinking, what does this mean? How does this apply to my life? As against, I'm watching soaps, I'm watching all sorts, there's all sorts of things in my mind, but I'm not focusing on God. Now, a man of God can pour anointing oil on your head and pray all manners of prayers. It's not going to make you intimate with God. You have to do the work. You have to stretch. There's some things that cannot happen until we stretch. So I encourage us that we engage with spiritual disciplines. I'll mention a few other things that we mentioned at that Bible study. We talked about prayer, meaningful communion with God, not just prayer and we're praying and we're kind of not going past the roof, but meaningful communion with God where we're talking to God, we're hearing from God. We talked about fasting. Stretching for somebody here might mean that you need to take a day each week and say, God, on this day every week, I'm going to start to fast. I'm going to stretch. We talked about Bible study, not just reading or hearing, but studying it. The word that was used that I love, the person that was leading said, you know, you study that word so much that you internalize it. It becomes part and parcel of you. And you know, these things, they're principles. If we follow certain principles, we get the outcomes of those principles. The Bible says God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he would reap. So you're not studying, you're not going to class, and you're praying and you're speaking in tongues that you're going to get an A. God is not mocked, right? So God would bless the work of your hands, but there has to be something. God said to Moses, what is that that you have in your hands? You don't take zero to God and start to speak in tongues that God multiply it. Zero times anything is zero. So we need to stretch. We need to play our part. Principles. We need to follow these principles. And God would help us in Jesus' name. We talked about chastity, which was really interesting, about being pure and clean in our hearts. And we spoke about how a lot of us, a lot of Christians, we flirt with evil. The Bible says, flee every appearance of evil. But we flirt with evil. We still watch things that if Jesus were sitting next to us, we would not watch. Movies that have all sorts of sexual scenes, some pornography, the music that we listen to. But actually, when you're in front of the TV, this is part of stretching. Next time you're watching a program, imagine that Jesus is physically sitting next to you. Would you be saying, what do you think of that scene, Jesus? And if you feel that uncomfortable about it, stretch, let it go. Let it go. Stretching has to do with taking on board some things and letting go of some things. How do we go about stretching? You know, sometimes we say the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And sometimes we make decisions and we try, but after a while, we just go back to the same old same. And I think there's a secret in Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 that would help us. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. It's a passage that we have shared before. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Thinking about how do I stretch and how do I sustain it. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So how do I make a decision to stretch? How do I start stretching and I don't go back to the status quo, okay? I give a personal example. I was talking about this in our last love group meeting. Now, for many years, on and off, I've thought, you know, I should be exercising. So I'll join the gym, yes. I'll go for the first few weeks, and then I won't go. My money just gets wasted. So after a while, I didn't even bother. So I tried something else. I said, oh, let me join a class, an exercise class. I went for the class that first day. I can't explain the pain that I went through. And so somehow, I never went back. Anyway, but then this year, I made a decision. And this is the power of a decision. I made a decision that things have to be different. I have to somehow stretch in this area and commit to it. So I decided on a different approach. I decided to do something I've never done before. And so I signed up with a personal trainer. So now, instead of trying to do it on my own, I now have a personal trainer who sees potential in me that I don't see in myself. That's putting it very lightly. And you know, I was saying to the sisters at Love Group that the first day that I went and the first few weeks, as in honestly, sincerely, this was what was happening with me. I'll be doing the stuff. The trainer will be like, you know, you can do it just a bit more. And in my mind, I was saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, as in for real, right? But now, months later, I was saying to some guys that there was something that there was a big weight, like a ball-like weight that you carry above your head, you slam it down and you keep going. On the first day when I carried that thing, it was like, God, you have to help me, right? But then over time, my trainer has got me onto heavier ones. So I tried recently the one that I tried on the first day and honestly felt like I was carrying a tennis ball. Now that's what stretching would do. When you stretch, stuff that you didn't know you had on the inside of you, it would start to come out. That's why we say that you can't fulfill God's purpose for your life unless you stretch. The assignment God has for you, by yourself you think you can't do it, but you have spiritual muscles. You know, after the first few days, the aches that you have in some places, you won't even know that you had muscles in those places. You have spiritual muscles that you know nothing about, but as you stretch, these things will start to come out. As you stretch, you would start to fulfill purpose. So we need to stretch. So how does that verse help us? That verse says we should spur one another on to love and good works. Now, when I was trying to do it myself, it wasn't working. But now I have someone who is helping me. I was saying to my boys, I have two different trainers on a Tuesday and a Thursday. The Tuesday one is the main one, and that's the one that I go to sweating. You know, already thinking, oh my, because she really pushes me. The Thursday one just lets me do whatever I want to do. And I was saying to the boys that I like Thursdays. And they were saying, oh, but Tuesday is better for you. And then last Thursday I get there and it's the Tuesday person there. And it's like, why? But sometimes we need that. And God would send people to our lives that he sent to your life in that season for that reason. But if we're not connecting, if we're not making those divine connections, then we can miss out. The Holy Spirit would help us, and the Holy Spirit will send people to us. Think about Paul and Timothy, that relationship. I believe that Paul in Timothy's life was key to Timothy's stretching. Paul would say to Timothy, you need to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you when I laid my hands on you. Timothy might not even have realized that gift was there, but Paul knew it was there. He said, stir it up. Everybody needs people like that in different seasons, and I pray that we wouldn't miss those connections in Jesus' name. Timothy was said to be one of the youngest in his church, and yet he was the leader. And Paul said to him, let no one despise your youth. It's not about you. It's about the God in you. He says to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, right? So people will come alongside you. And that's the kind of connections that we should be making in church as well. It's not just the Wednesday service and the Friday service and the Sunday services. It's more than that. It's more than that. I think about Esther and Mordecai. We all know the story of Esther and Mordecai in Esther chapter 4. In Esther chapter 4, what has happened is that Haman has got the king to sign, saying they were going to kill all the Jews on a certain day. And Mordecai has found out. And in Esther chapter 4, Mordecai comes and he's wearing sackcloth and he's torn his clothes and he's in distress. And Esther is told in the palace that this is what Mordecai's up to. And the Bible says Esther was very distressed. And so she sends clothes to Mordecai that, you know, wear these clothes, but he refuses to. So she then sends one of the men that had been assigned to serve her to go and find out from Mordecai, what's the problem? What's wrong? And Mordecai tells Esther and tells the guy to tell Esther that you need to go to the king. You need to be the vessel that God's going to use to sort this thing. And Esther sends a message back to him that, look, the king hasn't called me for 30 days. And if anyone goes before the king without being called, and he doesn't put out his scepter to that person is dead. So Esther at that point in time, and I don't blame her, she wasn't jumping over herself to go before the king. 30 days is a long time not to call his wife. But Mordecai sent a message to Esther. And Mordecai said to Esther, let's read it. So Esther chapter 4. verses 13. We'll start from verse 12. Esther 4, verse 12. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family would perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. So she had someone that was spurring her on. Mordecai loved Esther. Esther was like a daughter to him. If he wasn't such a mentor, he could have sent a word back to Esther and said, it's true, Esther. After all, nobody knows that you're Jewish in the palace. Just lay low. So even if they kill all of us, at least maybe you would survive. But that wasn't the message that he sent. So we need people that are going to tell us the truth in love. You know, sometimes you have in your life people that would make you stretch or that would try to encourage you to stretch. People that would tell you what at that point in time you don't want to hear. So if I'm carrying, I'm carrying 15 kg and I'm there and I'm saying all the Philippians 4:13 that I know, and maybe I'm even beginning to speak in tongues a bit, and the trainer says you can carry 20. That's not what I want to hear at that point in time. But we need people that would help us stretch. And sometimes there are people trying to help us and we refuse to submit. I pray that none of us would miss our divine connections in Jesus' name. It was only after Esther got this message from Mordecai that she said, go and gather all the Jews, fast for 3 days, and then she says the famous words, when this is done, I would go to the king, even if it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. But she needed someone to spur her on. Do you know, when we fellowship with each other, that's what we should be doing for each other. When pillars, when you guys meet, you should be spurring each other on to greater works. Love group, it should be the same thing. The men's fellowship, we should be spurring each other on. When we're engaging in friendships together, we should be spurring each other on. It shouldn't just be about, I don't know what's going on everywhere. How are we spurring each other on to good works? How are you encouraging me to stretch? There are people in my life that have encouraged me to stretch. I started off the very shy person who's just praying that, let them not call me, let them not call me. But there are people that forced me or helped me to stretch. I pray that we'll be that for each other in Jesus' name. Don't miss your divine connections. God would send people to your life, and God would send you to the lives of others to help them to stretch. Another way that we stretch, and what happens when we stretch, Hebrews 5, verses 12 to 14. Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. It says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The mature, who by constant use, who by stretching have trained themselves. So don't say it's not my thing. There's some people, for instance, street fair is coming, and some people will not want to come out and talk to people because it's not my thing. I'm not comfortable doing that. You know, I don't want to just stop people and start to talk to them about Jesus or stop people and pray with them. That's just not me. You know, it's for like the brother T's. It's natural for them. That's why we said it's stretching. And that's why we said it's painful. That's why we said it takes an effort. Stretch, stretch. In being an ambassador, is it possible for an ambassador to be sent to a country and he gets to that guest country and nobody knows he's an ambassador? Everybody thinks he's an indigene of the country. Is it possible? But yet, that's how many of us live our lives. The Bible says we're ambassadors. In the area of being an ambassador, say to your neighbor, stretch. Stretch. They must know that you're a Christian. You must be sharing God. In your career, don't be happy to just stay mediocre. In school, don't be happy to just pass. Stretch in your excelling. Do you know what happens? You become light. And when you become light, then you can point people to Jesus. If I'm the person who's always struggling, always failing, nobody really wants to know me. But if you're excelling, you're stretching, At your workplace, if you're the one that always has solutions to major issues, that's shining as light. And then you point to God. When they say, how do you do it? You don't say, oh, I don't know, I'm just brilliant like that. You point to God. And then that's your light shining. That's you stretching, and people are drawn to God. Say to your neighbor again, you need to stretch. You need to stretch. It could be in our parenting. Some of us, our parenting is very sloppy, very lazy. Because, you know, life is busy, life is... So our children, 24/7, they're on gadgets so that we can have some peace, you know? Or we just plump them in front of the TV. God is saying to some parents, you need to stretch. There might be no more important assignments that God has given you than your children. Because God says, this is my heritage. You need to adjust your life so that you can be an excellent parent. Who's an excellent parent? A parent that is there. A parent that knows what's going on in their child's world. A parent that the child feels comfortable to come and talk to about anything. Even if my sons know that I'm not going to agree with what they're saying, I want them to feel comfortable to come and have that conversation with me. We need to stretch, and God would help us. There are many things out there that want our children, many things that want to steal their minds, their hearts, their souls. In this area, we need to stretch. You might think, oh, I don't have children. But as a mentor, as someone that children, these children look up to, you need to stretch. Shimon, you have no idea how Oluwatoni looks up to you, right? So they're these guys that look up to us. We need to stretch. We need to play our part so that it can be well for the next generation as well. And so that we don't fail God. By God's grace, we'll not fail God in Jesus' name. As we round up, the assignments God has given you, and the assignments in different seasons might be different. And some of these assignments are big. Some of them, you think about them and you think, how can I do it? You can't do it by yourself. But God is saying, if you would only stretch. God is saying that, a pastor put it this way. He said, the greater the assignment, the greater the assistance. But God would not send that assistance when you're sitting down doing nothing. God, there's another pastor, I love the way he phrases it. He says, God would send you help along the way. As you take the steps, the assistance will come, the help would come. But if I refuse to stretch, nothing happens. And check it out in the Bible. Everyone that did something special for God, everyone that God called for a special assignment, none of them was lazy doing nothing. Think of a few. Gideon. Gideon was threshing, right, in the wine press so the enemies won't see him. He was busy. David was busy looking after sheep. He was busy. He wasn't a lazy bugger. Paul, he was busy doing the wrong thing, but he was busy. Moses was busy. So we need to stretch. These guys, they were stretching, maybe in the wrong direction, but God called them. Until you start to do, until you start to stretch. If you're waiting for God to pour the anointing and everything just falls in place without stretching, we're deceiving ourselves. We need to stretch. Say to your neighbor again, you need to stretch. The results of stretching, like we saw in that verse, there'll be growth, there'll be increase, there'll be strength. The result of stretching, you would have an increased capacity. In fact, an uncommon capacity. David is an example. When David stood before King Saul and said, I would go and face Goliath. Now think about this. What was David then? He was a shepherd. Who was Goliath? Goliath was the guy that the generals in the army were shaking in their boots. And this young guy stands there and says, I would go, right? At that point in time, he was just a shepherd. And the king looks at him and says, look, this guy has been a warrior from his youth, right? And he tries on his armor and all that. But David goes. David stretches. Now, for David being in the wilderness or whatever, looking after the sheep, that was the area he was comfortable with. And he had stretched there. He had killed the lion, the bear. But going to go and face Goliath, that was mega stretching. As in, that was crazy stretching. And sometimes to fulfill the assignment God has placed in you, you have to stretch in crazy manners. That people will look at you and say, are you okay? But you know what God has placed on the inside of you. And David stretches in that crazy way. He goes in front of Goliath, and we all know the result of the story. By the time David is dying, ripe old age, David was a seasoned warrior. David was king because he started to stretch. I pray for you, I pray for myself, that in Jesus' name, in all the areas God is calling us to stretch, that we would stretch in Jesus' name. If we refuse to stretch, there's stagnation, there's stunted growth. If we refuse to stretch, I think even more importantly, we don't fulfill God's purpose. I pray that none of us would at the end of time not have fulfilled God's purpose for our lives. So in conclusion, I encourage us all, let us stretch. Let us not frustrate God's grace that's upon our lives. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray for grace. But the one that's already on your life, what are you doing with it? Okay? Let us cooperate with God's grace on our lives. Let us be able to say like Paul, that the grace of God on my life, it was not in vain. I pray that God's grace on our lives, indeed, it will not be in vain. So enlarge, stretch, lengthen, and strengthen. I pray that that would be your reality in Jesus' name. Can we rise to our feet to pray?